What besides a human foot am I looking at?
The true owner of two missing feet found in the Chilkoot River, still a mystery after years of uncertainty. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bick.
Tara will not be able to host the news today, but don't worry, you'll get your stories. I just hope you like ghost stories.
A few springs ago, a guy from, you know, kind of a tough-looking Alaska guy was up from Ketchikan. He goes around town and installs sprinkler systems in restaurants and bars. And he was telling me several years ago he put in the emergency sprinkler system into the Red Onion, and he came in late at night after the bartenders had closed up. And, you know, like I said, you know, this is like a born and bred Alaska guy, not the type who you would expect to hear ghost stories from. He said he had to go underneath the building to do some of the work, and he clearly heard the piano playing and people dancing around on the floor. And he kind of had that same thought that I had had, like, oh, you know, I left the door unlocked and people got in. And he said he, you know, went back into the bar and there was absolutely nobody in there. And that spooked him out pretty bad. But he said it was very clear, like he heard the piano playing and people dancing around in the bar. Nobody there.
Ooh. I stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell.
Tim Vogel was one of the outlaws associated with Soapy Smith and Skagway. And when things got really hot after Soapy was killed by Frank Reed, Tim moved over to Haines and had a little bit of his own gang over here. From what I understand, Tim had moved into, or maybe he actually built, what is now known as the Gutenberg Dump or the Casa del Cazzi. And he brought in with him a young wife who was actually quite young. She was 16 or 17 years old. Anyway, the Marshal, U.S. Marshal, around 1910, 1911, 12, it may have been John Healy. Tim Vogel had done something, and Healy was ready to arrest him. And so Healy stood out on 3rd Avenue in front of the Captain's Choice Motel and also in front of what is has been known as the Gutenberg Dump. And he called out Tim Vogel, and Tim shot through the window and shot the marshal. A number of other people who had been deputized by the marshal began shooting toward the Gutenberg Dump. And apparently, Tim Vogel's bride or bride-to-be ran in front of the window and was shot and killed. Tim Vogel was not. Time goes on, and in 1988, I moved into the Gutenberg Dump for a year to take care of it for Ron and Susie Scollin. And one night, I was in bed and I woke up. I wasn't sure what I was awake for. But also inside the house, I heard somebody walking up the stairs rather slowly. You heard a creak and then another creak and then another creak. And so I put out my left arm by the door and I waited until it sounded like whoever was walking up the stairs was at the top of the stairs. And at that point, I threw the door open and I said, "Come in!" And there was no one there. However, 2 years later, Amelia Nash and Bengta Hoffman and somebody else was living in there. They were playing cards or talking or something downstairs by the kitchen when they heard some noise, a little flutter or something, and they hadn't known about the ghost. And they turned around to the landing at the bottom of the stairs, and there was a young lady beautifully dressed in what appeared to be a wedding gown in lavender, and she was looking out at them, and her hand lifted up and went out to them. And the girls looked at each other. They were all 19 or something at the time, and then they looked back, and she was gone.
Kushtaka is a powerful creature. I think that's what white men call it, the Bigfoot. Yeah. if they knew anything about Kustakar. Anyway, this guy, he went out into the bush to do some hunting. Filled up his boat with food. Oh, everything. And he went where he went hunting. Anything he could get his hands on, that's what he went after. Wild game. He stayed out in his canoe. He didn't camp. Towards evening, about maybe. They had knocked out here. Clinker says to him. Sun went down. Oh, he was out in the canoe this week, right? Right around just when shadows start showing up. Yeah, he was out there in his canoe. When it started to get dark, he thought he was dreaming. The bow of his canoe started to go down, but he didn't see anybody. He didn't. He just kept going, there's nobody there. He was watching his canoe, the bow of it going down into the water. It was almost to the brim of a canoe. They let go, whatever it was, and the wave starts rolling away from his canoe. That canoe really jumped out of the water. They found out later that was the Kustakar doing these things.
We bought our house in 1999, and it wasn't too long after we were in the house that both my daughter and I knew that we weren't alone in the house. And it seemed like it took a few years before the guys in the house to fess up to the fact that they were absolutely aware themselves that we had a ghost in the house. Everything from hearing someone walking around upstairs when they were the only ones in the house to watching the rocking chair suddenly start rocking. And then one night a few years back, I was doing dishes in the kitchen, and you know when you have the lights on in the house, it's dark outside, sometimes the window looks like a mirror. And someone was standing behind me, had come down the bottom of the steps and was standing behind me, and I thought it was my husband, and I started talking to him. And then my husband walked into the room through another door, and I was pretty shocked. So I started asking questions if they knew any reason we would have a ghost here. And one of our neighbors has family attached to our home. It was her grandparents' home at one time. Brought two pictures, and there was a picture of an older gentleman and a picture of a younger man. And I said, well, it's the younger one. And it turns out that that young man had gone to Juneau and with some mysterious circumstances apparently fell off a dock and drowned. And shortly thereafter, the family moved out of this house and did not want to live in it anymore. And it's assuming on my part, because I've never had a conversation with them beyond that, that they were aware also that I think he had come home. And you start to freeze as someone looks you right between the eyes. So years ago, when John Dawson owned the Fort Seward Lodge, I was working there as a waitress, and me and Sherry Most and Cheryl Most all were working there at the same time, and they had told me about the basement. Everyone was kind of afraid of the basement, and the basement is where they stored the backup supplies and all the extra food. And I was working one night and walked down there one evening to grab something, but opened the doors. I was all by myself. I walked down there and walked past the ice machines. And from out of nowhere, a big knife came down and landed just to the right side of me. And I looked down and saw the knife laying there. I was like, oh my God, where did that come from? I think I grabbed what I needed to grab, and I went hauling up the stairs. And I was like, Sherry, Cheryl, this knife just came out of the sky and landed beside my foot.
So I never went back down to the basement alone again after that. We always went down together, even in the middle of a shift serving customers. We were down there together after that night. Cheryl and Sherry and John actually got into it. He was telling stories about that, yeah, there's definitely spirits lurking about the old basement of the Fort Seward Lodge and throughout the Fort Seward Lodge, but hopefully they're all dispersed now, and or maybe they're still lurking about, especially on a Halloween night.
You know that those houses up there have got to be haunted, and when I was telling this story, my neighbor, Barb Kalusian, she lived in house number 6. And right there in the post office, she says, oh, yes, we have a ghost, too. And I saw him. It was right in my parlor. He was standing by the fireplace, leaning against the mantelpiece. And I turned around, and there he was. She said he was dressed in a uniform, and he was cute. Good-looking ghost. How lucky can she be?
Happy Halloween from KHNS News. For more creepy tales about your neighborhood, go to the listen page at khns.org.
Ha 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 ha